Well, thank you, Steve. As you know, Steve is not only a part of the whole missions team, but he leads our Wednesday night prayer support team. Could you hear the level that he knows all of our missionaries, and he publishes a digest of mission prayer requests? And if you ever want to have any more deepening of your praying for the missionaries, talk to Steve, and he will give you enough to keep you praying night and day, especially if you can't sleep. Get his list and invest for heaven. Let's open our Bibles to prepare for communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just one verse I want to point out to you. There's something we're all supposed to do every time we gather for communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," we're supposed to do something. We are supposed to, when we gather together in the name of Christ, and when we hold in our hands these pictures of Christ's body and of his blood, it says in verse 26, you notice what the next thing is? "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," that's the celebration of communion, the Lord's Supper, "you proclaim the Lord's death." We are to make a proclamation every time we gather. And that proclamation is what Christ has done in our lives. And so what I thought I would do is just help some of you that maybe have never done that before by turning to chapter 1 of the Gospel by John. And I would like to, just for about a minute and a half, help you put into words what Jesus Christ has done through the cross, through his sacrificial substitutionary death, through the giving of his blood as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He accomplished everything. And this is what it says in John 1 and verse 12. "But as many as received him." Now, salvation is not what I have done. See, a lot of people get all mixed up. I ask people whether they're saved. You know what they tell me? Everything that they've done. Do you know what's really important? Not what you've done, but who? What Christ has done. See, when Paul describes salvation, he starts out with Christ. He said, "He," that's Jesus, "gave himself," that's his sacrificial death on the cross, "for me." You see the emphasis? It's what Christ did and what Paul had received. So look at 1 John 1:12. "But as many as received him," that's the wondrous work of salvation, "to them he gave the right to become children of God." Now who would those be? To those who believe in his name. Because I'm saved, I am a child of God. Did you know that? That's what you declare tonight. Because I'm saved, because Jesus died in my place, I, just what it says in verse 12, I have the right and I have become a child of God. Okay, let's practice for communion tonight. Because you're saved, you can say, "I am a child of God." Let's say that out loud together. You ready? 1, 2, 3. "I am a child of God." Now there, you're confessing Jesus Christ. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. Okay, real quickly, we're going to just do about 3 or 4 of these. Turn to Romans 8. There's something else you can declare at communion tonight. It says in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 2, "A wonderful truth that Jesus Christ has set us free from sin." And Romans 8:2 tells us, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." Because I'm saved, I am free from slavery to sin. Now, I could be running a, you know, how to stop smoking, you know, smoking class, or I could be running a how to overcome addiction to fear, or how to overcome addiction to alcohol or drugs class. And I could just tell people, you know, you got to buck up and try harder and stay away from that and everything else. And that would be at the same level of us trying to stop any sin we're bound to. But notice what it says in verse 2. "The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Because I am saved, I am free from all slavery to sin. Do you realize tonight there's no sin that can enslave you any longer? Now, there's sins that we can enslave ourselves to because we aren't willing to believe verse 2 that the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. But there's no sin that any longer can enslave me. Because I am saved by Christ's blood, I am free from all slavery to sin. Now, that's something that we should be able to say. I'll say the beginning part. I'll say, because Jesus saved me. And then you say, I am free from all slavery to sin. And you know what? You need to think about that. Because if you are secretly enslaved to sins of fear, sins of anxiety, sins of consuming desire for things, sins of pride that you're always hurt when you're not recognized, sins of lust that you have this unsatisfied desire that you just constantly need satisfaction for, those sins don't have to enslave you. Because verse 2 says, I am free through the Spirit of life in Christ from slavery to all sin. Okay? Because of Christ's work on the cross, let's say it together, I am free from slavery to all sin. There's no sin that can enslave you because you're a child of God and you're free from slavery to all sin. Here's another one. Turn to the right to 1 Corinthians 3. And this is our last one for tonight. And we'll do these at many other communions. But I want you to remember this because this is how we're supposed to behave. Remember I said this morning how if you're going to be a representation of Christ, if you're going to be a nurturing parent or disciple maker, if you're going to be a godly father or mother, you have a specific design God has for you. Do you know what constantly should be on our minds? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Look what it says. Do you not know? By the way, Paul brought that up because they were acting like they didn't. Now, we know a lot more than we betray by our actions. And so we need reminders. So Paul reminded the church in Corinth, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you understand? It's not this building that's holy when it's empty. It's not holy. It's only sanctified when we're in here. In fact, I was in the back getting ready for the baptismal, and one of the elders walked by and said something about, you know, nice fly fishing waders or something like that. And I said, they're sanctified waders. You know what he said to me? Mine are too. Do you know why? Because they are worn by a saint. You see, we, when we enter a place, we are the temple of God. When we go into any conversation, when we go into any work setting, when we go into any classroom, when we go into any public building that no longer can have, you know, the religion exercised in it, we are the temple of God. We bring the Spirit of God who lives within us. We bring the very holy presence of God wherever we go. So you know what that means? There are some places we should not cause the Spirit of God to have to endure. Did you know it's not whether you like the movies you watch, it's whether the Holy Spirit you're taking with you likes the movies you watch. It's not whether you like the television shows you sit and allow to pour into your mind, it's whether the one who lives inside of you likes it. Did you know when women are expecting children, they just do headstands to only eat the right things and stay away from the wrong things and not breathe secondhand smoke and not, you know, have alcohol so they'll have fetal alcohol syndrome. But you and I constantly have the eternal, living, infinite, almighty God living inside of us. And we're his temple. And so Paul said, don't you know? It should alter your behavior that you are the temple of God. Because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am a temple of God. Now, that's something you should say out loud with me, okay? Because you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, together, I am a temple of God. I hope that tonight, that you realize you're a child of God, that no sin can enslave you except the ones you choose, and it's not pleasing God that you choose them. He has set you free, and that you and I are temples of God. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. As we bow, the men are going to come and prepare to serve us the Lord's Supper. But with your head bowed, if in any way you have not acted like a child of God, you have not acted like you're free from sin, you have not acted like you're his temple, that's what you're supposed to deal with right now. It's kind of like before they pass out the finger food, you're supposed to wash your hands. Right now, you're supposed to make sure Before you partake in the Lord's table, the Lord said, make sure that you have clean hands and a pure heart. So let's bow quietly before the Lord. Make sure that you have asked and received His complete cleansing. And then I'll pray for His blessing on our celebration. Father in heaven, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we have forgiveness through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through His blood. We have the deliverance from all sin that enslaved us. We are your temples, and you live within. Thank you for this bread that we hold to remind us that you are the bread of life, that you are the unleavened, sinless bread of life, that you are the one who was pierced through for our sins, and with your stripes we have been healed because you became sin for us. And that makes your name the greatest name of all. Above all names, we worship your name. We breathe it out with awe and adoration and gratefulness. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for letting us partake of this communion with you tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As the men pass the bread to us, we're going to offer to the Lord some gifts. And all of you have brought a gift, and it's your heart, energized by the Holy Spirit. And as these words come across the screen, you get the choice to consciously sing these words to the Lord. And you don't sing them as a concert. You sing them as an offering. So I hope that while all the men are doing all the passing and everything's going on, that you'll just grip those words with your hearts and that you will, thanks, Blaine, offer those words to the Lord as an offering to Him tonight. Let's sing At the Name of Jesus to our Lord tonight.
Was the mighty word. Oh, the mighty word.
On that night, our Lord Jesus Christ took unleavened bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Lord Jesus, you've told us that salvation is when we know you. You use the word that's used for Adam knowing his wife Eve, the most intimate, personal exchange humans possibly can imagine. And you said that salvation is that intimate union of God with man, that you are part of us, that you live within us, that you impart to us your very life. And you've said that this cup is the cup of the blessing of knowing you. Thank you for your blood poured out so that we could know you, so that you could cleanse us and live within us. And so I pray that tonight, that knowing you would be the single greatest treasure that we hold in our lives, and that it's the one we're clinging to at our last breath, knowing you, whom we love and worship tonight. In your precious name we thank you. Amen. As the men pass the cup to us, let's sing of that treasure of knowing Christ.
To know the power. tonight, your heart is welling up like you just gave the gift that made the night. Don't you love it at Christmas when a little child gets the gift that they just, I mean, every ounce of them lights up? You know that's what they wanted. You know what the Lord wants from us? You know what? He lights up and receives the fragrant incense of our worship. When we, with all of our heart, seek Him, you can offer your entire heart to the Lord in communion services. You just say, I pour myself out. I love you, Lord. You're the best. Now He's going to listen to that throughout the week. And if He's the best, and if He's your all, then He wants you to read the mail He sent. He wants you to call Him frequently. He wants you to walk through life acknowledging He's right there with you, that you're His temple, that no sin has to enslave you, and you're His child. That's the offering we give to Him. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant that's in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, for your peace that passes understanding that you keep us in, and for the knowledge that you designed us for an eternal purpose. And I pray that we might live that purpose for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Before you go, if you'd all stand with me, we just had a baptism, and I would like to dismiss right away to the choir room. You can go right up there and through that door and down to the right. All of those that were baptized, all of their sponsors, and all of the elders. And if you're part of the family and friends that were baptized tonight, you can, maybe after we all take off, or even right now, you can go down that way. You see they're going through that door. They're going down this hall. We're meeting in the choir room for about 10 minutes. And what's going to happen is each of these who've been baptized, the elders and their sponsor give them a priceless gift. Instead of from Cartier's, it's from the Scriptures. And they're sharing a promise that they're praying for them in their spiritual lives. So tonight, each of these candidates are going to have Scriptures given to them, prayers offered over them. And I hope you, from your bulletin, will pick out, you know, one of those that you saw and remember something from their testimony. And when you see them in the days ahead, say, "I remember you, I'm praying for you." Okay? God bless you as you go. See you soon.